to thank everyone for the part that they've played tonight in helping us think about Jesus and worship him. And this is interesting for me. This is my first Christmas Eve here in Madoc in 8.5 years or so. And the weather is a little bit different from how I remember it, actually. I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it was raining hard all day. Did anyone see that? Pretty different in terms of what I'm familiar with. Apparently in southern Ontario, they have a lot of snow that's coming, so they might have a white Christmas. For us, we have green and brown grass and mud is the way that it looks. So hope everyone is safe while they drive. I hope everyone is safe in southern Ontario as well. Although it was interesting for me as I was watching the rain, I was thinking about the weather. And you know this as well as I do, but when it's the winter and it starts getting cold, Canadians tend to complain about how cold it is. And then in the summer, what do we do? We complain about how hot it is, exactly. And no matter what happens, it seems that we can't be content. And so in years past, I've noticed, and maybe you are guilty of this yourself, I've noticed a number of people around this time of year complain that they're really, really busy. You know, they complain there's too many people to see, too many places to travel, that it's difficult to fit in all of the different folk, family and friends that they need to go and visit. And it becomes a complaint, you know, and they always say, I just wish we could have a year where things were quiet, where we didn't have to run around seeing all of these various people. And this year, we actually get that. And people are complaining that they can't run around, you know, visiting all of the people and fitting in everyone everywhere they go. I mean, now I realize, of course, for us, there are autonomy issues there, and we don't like being dictated to. We want to be able to run our own lives and have our own schedules and all of the rest. And yet it seems that no matter what we're going to get, we are not going to be content about it. Now, in Luke chapter 2, this was a passage that was already read. We're told in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. Now, I wasn't there, and neither were you, but I'm willing to bet that people complained incessantly about being forced to leave where they were to go to their towns of origin in order to register. No one wanted this government census except the government. And so Caesar proclaims that there's going to be a census, and just like you wouldn't like being told to take an arduous journey, this wasn't a matter of jumping in a car. This was a matter of, for a lot of people, traveling on foot or by very primitive methods for a good number of kilometers, maybe a dozen or two dozen or 50 or 100. I mean, this was a long journey for a lot of folk, and they had to do it, compelled by Rome. If they were normal people, they were complaining. You know, people would have been complaining all the time about being forced by their government, to have this census and this long journey. So probably on the road to Bethlehem, there would have been people complaining about having to go to Bethlehem. But this year, people are complaining about not being able to go to Bethlehem. In fact, Bethlehem, which was almost a non-existent place, it was so small in the time of Jesus, it now basically has its entire living on the basis of being known as the birthplace of Jesus Christ. And so there are all kinds of special festivities that take place in Bethlehem. It really is built on Christian Christmas tourism. I mean, that's all that the town is known for. And so this morning, actually, interesting enough, I found an article by the Canadian Press that talks a little bit about what it's like to be in Bethlehem this year. And this is some of what they say. Bethlehem, on Thursday, ushered in Christmas Eve with a stream of joyous marching bands and the triumphant arrival of the top Catholic clergyman in the Holy Land. but few people were there to greet them as the coronavirus pandemic and a strict lockdown dampened celebrations in the traditional birthplace of Jesus. Similar subdued scenes were repeated across the world as the festive family gatherings and packed prayers that typically marked the holiday were scaled back or canceled altogether due to the coronavirus. In Australia, worshippers had to book tickets online to attend socially distanced church services. The Philippines prohibited mass gatherings and barred extended families from holding traditional Christmas Eve dinners. Traditional door-to-door children's carols were canceled in Greece. Pope Francis was set to celebrate Mass in a near-empty Vatican service early in the evening as strict new curfew rules were going into effect. Italians lined up at bakeries, fish markets, and grocery stores for items needed to prepare Christmas Eve dinners, even as government officials begged families to limit their gatherings to no more than two people outside the main family unit. The government earlier this week barred travel between regions, and police were out Thursday enforcing the restrictions. Celebrations elsewhere in Europe were canceled or greatly scaled back as virus infections surge across the continent and a new variant that may be more contagious has been detected. In Athens, Christmas Eve was eerily silent. In normal times, voices of children singing carols while tinkling metal triangles can be heard all day. The decades-old custom in which children go house to house and receive small gifts was banned this year. North Macedonia's government banned outdoor celebrations and gatherings of more than four people at home. Hotels and restaurants are not allowed to organize New Year celebrations, and bars and restaurants must close at 6 p.m. through January 20th. Parties can wait, health cannot, Health Minister Venko Philpsi said in a Facebook post. In Bethlehem, officials tried to make the best out of a bad situation. Christmas is a holiday that renews hope in the soul, said Mayor Anton Selman. Despite all the obstacles and challenges due to Corona and due to the lack of tourism, the city of Bethlehem is still looking forward to the future with optimism. Thousands of foreign pilgrims usually flock to Bethlehem for the celebrations. But the closure of Israel's international airport to foreign tourists, along with Palestinian restrictions banning intercity travel in the areas they administer in the Israeli-occupied West Bank, kept visitors away. The restrictions limited attendance to dozens of residents and a small entourage of religious officials. Evening celebrations, when pilgrims normally congregate around the Christmas tree, were canceled, and the midnight mass was limited to clergy. The coronavirus has dealt a heavy blow to Bethlehem's tourism sector, the lifeblood of the local economy. Restaurants, hotels, and gift shops have been shuttered. That's representative of the type of Christmas cheer and Christmas mood there is for a lot of people in a lot of places today. The very first Christmas when Jesus was born, the only reason he was in Bethlehem was because the Roman imperial government, who were enslaving the people of Jesus, the Israelites, that Roman government forced people to leave their homes. They forced them to go to other places where they had been born in order to register for the government census. And I think this is actually something which is really important. It wasn't a coincidence that the Roman government issued this decree at that time. In fact, centuries before, God had promised that he was going to send a deliverer, his son, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He was going to send his son into the world in a very specific place. That is, this child was going to be born in Bethlehem. And Joseph and Mary did not live in Bethlehem. And so even while the Roman government issued a census decree for their own purposes, God was still in control of everything that was happening in the world. And although at that time, not a single person on earth understood that their ultimate reason for the census was to fulfill the prophecy about where Jesus was going to be born, nonetheless, the government still acted in a way which God used for his own purposes in bringing his son into the world. I think, as we look at our Canadian government response and the responses of governments around the world, the one thing we ought all to be able to agree on, I know there are different opinions about a whole variety of things, the one thing we ought to be able to agree on is that we're very, very thankful that no human government sits on the throne of the universe. God does. And even in the first century, even when Rome was dominating the world, a decree by the Roman government about a census was actually still controlled by God to bring his son and salvation into the world. And so for the people of God, we can always remember that God's purposes will prevail. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what decrees there are, the Lord is still sovereign over everything. And the census, as inconvenient as it was part of God's plan to bring his son into the world. And when we think about it, this was mentioned actually by a couple people already. When God's son came into the world, he was not born in luxury or with prestige or with power. In fact, he was born to poor parents. When he was born, there wasn't even a cradle or a mattress or a crib for him to be placed in. He was placed in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. His race was enslaved and dominated by Roman oppression. And so Jesus knew lack. Jesus knew what hardship was all about. This is sort of the life that he lived. In fact, this morning, really maybe for the first time, I reflected a little bit on the things that we might feel deprived about this year, but that Jesus never experienced at all. I mean, let alone all of the comforts that we're familiar with. But it occurred to me this morning, as I thought about how different Christmas will be for so many people this year, and this is relatively obvious. Should have occurred to me before now. Jesus never celebrated Christmas. Jesus didn't have turkey dinners with extended family. He didn't go caroling or have stockings or presents. He didn't receive gifts or gag gifts or non-gifts or whatever it is that you like to give. The first Christmas, Jesus didn't even have a bed. He was laid in a manger. That's what we remember. And I think for a lot of us, honestly, this year, more than ever before, as I listen to people, I am convinced that most people this year are approaching Christmas thinking about what they don't get to do rather than about all of the blessings that they actually have from the hand of God. And to be very honest, it is easier this year than ever before to complain and to focus on the negative. It is easier this year than ever before to talk about the things that we don't like, the things that we wish we were able to have, the way we wish things were. I mean, we have more ability to do that legitimately, in a sense, than we ever have had before. And as I read this article, though, one of the things that struck me is that this entire article about what it's like in Bethlehem right now and what it's like all over the world, the only thing that this article talks about, and it's representative of other things as well that you can find, all it talks about is what's not happening. All of the things that aren't taking place. All of the things that people normally do that they can't do. And even the mayor saying, well, even though things are bad this year, we still are optimistic for the future. And that's all lovely. That's a very nice sentiment. But frankly, what I want the mayor of Bethlehem to say is, you know what? Things are different this year. There aren't as many tourists. But you know what? We have Jesus. Like 2,000, we don't have a lot of tourists this year. But 2,000 years ago, a pretty special couple showed up because of a census. And the baby that was given birth to is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And so no matter what's going on this year, we are the place where Jesus was born. There isn't even a thought, it seems, that the Christmas story is actually true. But it is. And the truth of the birth of God's Son, the Savior of the world in Bethlehem, is what changes life. We don't have tourists, but we do have Jesus. And that's the message you want to hear. And it's true. Christ broke into Bethlehem. He broke into the world. And he is still with his people. And so when we talk about Christmas, we're not just remembering an event that happened, although that is true. We are remembering the birth of someone into the world who lives and who dies and who is raised to life and who lives again. That is, all of the holidays need to be connected. Christmas is only good news because of Good Friday, when Jesus dies for the sins of the world. And Good Friday is only good because there is a resurrection and Jesus conquers death and lives forevermore. I mean, there's hope because it's a whole package. Christmas, Good Friday, Easter, everything Jesus was and said and did, it's all relevant. And because he's been raised to life, he will return one day. The same way that he came, or sorry, in a similar way to the fact that he came the first time in Bethlehem, he will return. He'll return in power and glory to make everything right. And so again, when the mayor says, you know, they have optimism and hope for the future, you want to say, yes, optimism and hope, not just for a better tourist season when there's a vaccine, but rather optimism and hope forever and ever, because the Lord is returning and he is going to reign forever and ever, and he's going to raise his people to life to live eternally as well. And that's good news. And that's hope. And it's not built on government and health and prosperity and all the pleasures of life. It's built on the rock-solid foundation of who Jesus is and all that he has done for us. And literally nothing has the power to keep Jesus away from his people. And so this year, you know, we say Jesus is the reason for the season, and then we tend to run around not really acting like it. But this year we have the opportunity, not just in theory but in practice, to make Jesus the center and the heart of everything that we do. Tradition is wonderful when we can have it for various reasons, but the incarnation isn't about tradition. It's revolutionary, in fact. The world forever changed the moment Jesus came into it. He broke apart tradition, not necessarily because it was bad in itself, but because it sometimes kept people from the truth. That's something we can focus on this year, the truth of the gospel. While it can be really hard to go without this year, we can try to use the time and circumstances to focus our minds and hearts on the birth of our Savior. And so as we come through Christmas Eve and into Christmas tomorrow and the days following, let's not focus on what we don't have. Let's focus on what we do have. And what we do have is everything. Every blessing in the universe is ours through Jesus Christ, both now and forevermore. There are things we'll miss this year, but Jesus is more than enough. Let's believe that and act like it and act on it. And let's praise the Lord for all that he's given us in Jesus Christ. The gift of Jesus Christ, we thank you for the love that you have poured into the world through him. We thank you that you allow us to know him, that you allow us to praise and worship your name. Help us to do so. And Father, we confess that we are in many ways, there are disappointments this year. There are things that cause us sorrow. And yet we pray that you will still allow us to have transcendent joy in our Lord. Give us the gift of peace and comfort and grace and love and compassion. Lord, help us to truly be thankful in the depths of our soul for who you are and what you have done for us. I pray that you will bless us. May your Spirit rest upon us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in grace and peace.